It's always great to be here. It's always great to be back in yeshiva. Someone asked me last night what I'm talking about tonight, and I said I'm talking about the topic of the averos that a person cannot do tshuva for. And the person that I was talking to like recoiled, almost like, I don't want to hear that. It wasn't almost. They actually said, I don't want to hear that. Maybe I'll listen to it after Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. It seems like a pretty scary topic, and it seems like a topic that really shouldn't exist. Because one of the things that we were taught as very young children is that a person can always do tshuva, no matter what averos you do. Tshuva is so powerful. You could do tshuva for any aver in the world, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will forgive you. HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a Kel Rachamim. He's going to always have Rachmanus on us if we do sincere tshuva. And in fact, if one looks at the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva, the Rambam has 10 prakim of Hilchos Tshuva, and he has one entire perek dedicated to the averos for which a person cannot do tshuva. And he has 24 different items on the list, so it seems to be that if he comes up with 24 different averos for which a person can't do tshuva, those 24 averos should be pretty bad averos. I mean, if we're going to try to list what's the worst avera, we try generally not to judge everything, but we're going to try to list what's the worst avera, it would seem that that list would be the worst averos. Now, what are the worst averos in Judaism? If a person were to ask anyone who has any sort of yeshiva education, what are the worst averos, the cardinal sins of the, it's all the three that are? Those should be the worst averos in Judaism. And there may be more that are Yaharig Val Yavar. We have, of course, Malm Pnei Chaver Barabim, the Gemara in Sota Daf Yud, that with Tamar and Yehuda, that if someone embarrasses someone else publicly, that's also Yaharig Val Yavar. Telsus writes and Rabbeinu Yonah writes, so some Rishonim take that actually very literally, that it's Noach Lola Adam Sheyapil Atzmal Kivshana Eish, better for a person to be thrown into a Kivshana Eish, Va'al Yalbim Pnei Chaver Barabim. Most would assume that would be Agadita, but Tosos seems to take it very seriously, as does Rabbeinu Yonah and Shari Tshuva, that that's literal, that a person actually has to give his life rather than embarrass someone else publicly. That's probably the most frightening thing I'll say all night, even considering the topic. And according to Machlok Shishonim in Maseches Baba Kama about David HaMelech, that it could be stealing is also Yaharig Val Yavar. But whatever the Yaharig Val Yavars are, it's a limited list. There are a few averos of Yaharig Val Yavar, and those one would assume would be the worst averos in Judaism. What do you mean? Oh, okay. So if you had to make a second list, you would then go there. You would go with the things that are that where Chazal speak. A lot of times, Chazal say things like "It's ki'ilu avir avodah zarah" or "Shkulu k'neged kol averos," expressions like that. Now, that's not to be taken literally when we say that it's ki'ilu avir avodah zarah, because not everything that Chazal say is ki'ilu avir avodah zarah becomes Yaharig Val Yavar, meaning it's not, it means in some respect, Kala Koes, for example. Anyone who gets angry is Ki'ilu Ovid Avodah Zarah. Does that mean it's Yaharig Val Yavar? Not to get angry? No, it means it's a very bad midah, and in a certain sense, it reflects a certain lack of bitachon on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore we call it Ki'ilu Ovid Avodah Zarah. The reason I mentioned Mal B'nei Chaver Barabim is because Rishonim take it literally. The two Rishonim that actually comment on it in a very clear way take it very literally. But let's look at these three averos. Can one not do tshuva for the three biggest averos? We have strong evidence that one is able to do tshuva for all three of those very big averos. First of all, in terms of avodah zarah, Rashi and Chumash tells us that Yisro, when he finally joined the Jewish people, that Yisro at first loiniach avodah zarah ba'olam shlo avada, that he tried every single avodah zarah in the world, and that's a maila. It's a maila that he was a seeker, he was searching, and he tried every one, and each one failed him. Each one wasn't enough, and he left it aside, and then he went and he found HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And people who are over there avodah zarah certainly can do tshuva, and we accept them. And people who we have bali tshuva that live in all of our communities probably at some point were traveling the world searching for religion and dabbled in Buddhism and in all other sorts of, or even Christianity, we paskin is avodah zarah for a Jew to do, so dabbled in all sorts of other religions that are technically avodah zarah, and they become fine balei tshuva, and we assume that they're kashal eidus and everything. That's absolutely fine. And we have even stronger evidence when it comes to gilui arayos. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah Daf Yud Zayin tells the unbelievable story, very difficult to understand story, of Rabbi Elazar ben Dordaya. And the Gemara tells us, Rabbi Elazar ben Dordaya's shtick, and when he wasn't so frum, to say the least, his shtick was that he, lo iniach zona achas ba'olam shelo ba'aleha, that he found every last zona on earth, and he frequented and used the services of every last zona on earth. And then one time he heard that there's one zona that's far, far away, and she charges an exorbitant sum of money, so he saved up, and he traveled the seven seas in order to finally reach the zona, and just at the time that he was about to be boel her, something happened. I'm not going to get into the whole story, but something happened, something unusual happened that woke him up to the idea that he needs to do tshuva, and he first thinks that the way to do tshuva is to ask the mountains and the shamayim and the aretz to have rachamim on him, and to be mevakish rachamim for him, but that's not going to work. And then finally he realizes, ein hadavar talui elabi, it's all up to me, and he puts his head between his knees, and he lets out a shrai, he screams, and he screams out in pain and tshuva, and when he realizes Eina Davar Tali Elabi, and Yatsa Nishmaso, he dies on the spot. Yatsa Baskal Vyamra, if you want to see the whole story, it's in source number 3 in your packets. Yatsa Baskal Vyamra, for those who have packets, Yatsa Baskal Vyamra, then a Baskal comes out and says, Rabbi Elazar ben Dordaya Mezuman L'Chai Olam Haba, that he's Mezuman L'Chai Olam Haba. Apparently, if he's invited to Olam Haba, and he's allowed into Olam Haba, apparently his tshuva worked. Now keep in mind, this is a person who lived as a Baal Tshuva for approximately 3 seconds. And yet, his tshuva was sincere enough that it worked after a lifetime of being boel every single zona. So the tshuva works. Not only did the tshuva work, the Gemara goes on to say, "Amar Rebbe lo dayin lebali tshuva shemekabel nosan ela shekor nosan Rebbe." Not only did they mekabel him as not only was he accepted up in Shemayim, but how do we tell over the story? The Brisa says that it was Rabbi Elazar ben Dordaya who gave him smicha. How could he have ever become Rabbi Elazar ben Dordaya? What yeshiva? It was online smicha, maybe, but what yeshiva in the self-respecting yeshiva would give a person like this smicha? But he got his smicha from doing tshuva. He gets to be called Rabbi Elazar ben Dordaya. He's called Bederach Kavod because he did tshuva. So presumably this is the lowest of the low. Now is it technically Gilei Arayos? Okay, so there's room to argue that it wasn't really Arayos. They're all Pnuya, they're all Gaya, whatever it was. It certainly, he wasn't winning any mitzvah contests, and yet he still is able to do tshuva. Shvichus Damim, we have even more explicit Gemaras. The Gemara, for example, at the beginning of Maseches Bava Basra, and Dav Gimel and Beis going off Dalet Amud Aleph, tells the story of Hordus. Hordus was an Eved from the Beis Chashmonai. He was an Eved from the house of the Chashmonaim, and he heard one day that any Eved that rebels today is going to be successful. So Hordus took it as a challenge or as an opportunity, and he rebelled and he killed out his whole master's house and he left everyone dead except for one girl that he very much liked, that he kept her alive. The Gemara tells us again a wild story about what happened with Hordus. He left Bab Mambuta alive because he needed someone wise that he can seek Eitza from, that he can get advice from, and he didn't make Bab Mambuta's life so easy either, and he did all sorts of terrible things. He murdered every rabbi, essentially. He looked up in the phone book, and he found everyone that said rabbi at the beginning of their name, so essentially the entire Brooklyn, and he murdered them all. He murdered everybody that had rabbi at the beginning of their name, and he left only Bab Mambuta alive. And then, at the end of the story, after Bab Mambuta impresses him with some wisdom, and his loyalty more than his wisdom, Hordus says, uh-oh, what did I do? I killed a lot of people. I feel very badly about that. So what should I do? And they told him, you are mechabe neru shalolam, you extinguished the candle of the world, so the way to do tshuva is to light the neru shalolam. You should light the candle of the world, that's going to be your tshuva. And he rebuilt the Beis HaMikdash, and the Binyan Hordus is the most beautiful Binyan Beis HaMikdash. He renovates the entire Beis HaMikdash, and that's his tshuva. And apparently that's okay. He had it. They gave him a mahalich. They gave him a derech to do tshuva. Not only that, the Gemara Maseches Gittin also talks about an astonishing story that the Gemara says, Nevuzradon Rav Tabachim, he killed Masayim Va'achas Esrei Ribo. Masayim Va'achas Esrei is what? 211. Ribo is 10,000. So 211 times 10,000. We're talking about a lot of people. He's killing What is that? Anyone do the math? 2.1 million. That's a lot of people. And nevertheless, at the end of the Gemara, there's some tshuva apparently that gets done as well. The Gemara says not just some tshuva. The Gemara tells us that that he realized what he had done, and he realized that tovim shaben ibadatim nichla. So ba'yi shaita hira tshuva b'dayte. He started thinking thoughts of tshuva. The Gemara in Gittin says this is a Gemara we normally only see on Tisha B'Av, but it's a real powerful tshuva message. Amar uma imal nefesh achas kach. For one nefesh, meaning for the blood of Zechariah, who was murdered, that's why all of this is happening. Ahu gavra dekatal kalhani nishmasa. I who have killed so many people, alachas kama v'kama, oy vey, what's going to be waiting for me? Arak azul shadashtar patarta bebesevi igayer. He went and he said goodbye to his family, and he was megayer. And the Gemara tells us he was a ger tzedek, and mibnei banav shel haman lamdu Torah bibnei brak, mibnei banav shel sisra lamdu tinokas b'yushalayim, mibnei banav shel sancher lamdu Torah b'rabim. That many of the most evil people in history had families that were mishpachos that contributed a great deal to the Torah world, to Torah Jewry. Right, so that was it, but they were doing tshuva for averos that even the guy is not allowed to do. So apparently these averos are, you know, are very severe averos, but nevertheless one is allowed to do tshuva. Also, there's no halacha anywhere that you're not allowed to do tshuva for any of these three things. That tshuva we do assume works for these three things. Now, are you going to be accepted as a kosher aid after you've committed these averos? It would be the same process as being accepted as a kosher aid after doing any avera for which you're chayiv malchus. Halacha in Shulchan Aruch is in Choshen Mishpat. If a person in Hilchos Eidos, if a person does something for which he's chayiv malchus, he's pasul eidos. It has to be an avera that's severe enough that he'd be chayiv malchus or worse than he's pasul eidos. Once a person is pasul eidos, is he gone forever? No, he could do tshuva, and we'll accept him again. It's one of the great rayas that we do accept tshuva in Beis Shalmata. Meaning, we don't accept tshuva in the following sense. If a person, let's say, comes into Beis Din, and he says, and Beis Din says, what do you have to say for yourself? We have two Edim here that said that you killed somebody. And he says, no, it wasn't me. What do you mean it wasn't you? We have two Edim that saw that you killed somebody. He says, no, that was yesterday. That was the person I was yesterday. But now, you don't understand, I'm a new person. Now I found religion, I found God, I'm a totally new person, so I'm pater. What does Beis Din do? They kill him. So Beis Din doesn't accept tshuva on that level. Beis Din can't adjudicate based on tshuva. But it's not because Beis Din doesn't know who did or didn't do tshuva. Because we do accept people as Edim who've done tshuva. How do you know that the guy really did tshuva? We can't read people's minds, but we accept certain simanim that a person did tshuva. If he seems like he's not doing those averos anymore that he used to do, so whatever the averos are, if it's malchus, it seems that we do accept people who do tshuva. There are tshuvas in poskim from the 1960s, the 50s, and the 60s, and even more recently about people who were Germans who wanted to be megayer. Can you accept such a person who wants to be megayer, someone who's German? I put one of these tshuvas in the Maror Makom. This is a fascinating tshuva from Sefer Chukas HaGer. So I forgot who the author of the Sefer is, but he was asked about being Mekabel a Nazi, someone who's a Nazi officer who has Jewish blood on his hands. Can you accept him? So he says, so this was like right after the Holocaust, and it was still, I mean, it still should be very raw, but it was, the feelings were even much more raw back then. It was before half the people in all of our neighborhoods were driving Mercedes and BMWs. So this was like when the feelings were still very, very, very raw. So he says, Bar Nash Kazeh, a human being like this, Asher Yadav Dam Yehudi Maleos, his hands are full of Jewish blood, Ein Mekomo B'Machane Yisrael, Ki Im Tamei Tamei Yikralo. He doesn't belong in the Machane Yisrael. Everyone should be pointing at him saying, Tamei Tamei, this is an awful person. Get him out of here. And then he should be as far away as possible. Aval, Mibchinat Ha'alacha, Hayavesha, from a dry halachic point of view, Eineni Roa Kol Meniyam Milakablo. Halachically, there's nothing stopping us from being Mekablim as a ger. He's doing tshuva, as long as he seems sincere, and he really feels badly about what he has done, halachically speaking, there's nothing wrong with being mekabel him as a ger. So apparently we do accept some tshuva on some level for people who have done the worst things on earth. All of this is just by way of introduction to try to take a look at this perek in the Rambam and say, okay, now, so what makes the list? If what doesn't make the list is avodah zarah, gilui arayos, shvichas damim, those aren't bad enough to prevent you from doing tshuva. What is bad enough to prevent you from doing tshuva? And there are 24 things on the list. This is a pretty significant list. So it could be overwhelming. Whenever you have a list of more than three things, it's overwhelming to try to remember what they are and even to find a common theme between them. So I want to try to do, the Rambam helps a little bit, not a little bit, a lot. The Rambam in this parak divides it into five categories. So he makes it a little more manageable by breaking it down into five categories. So what I want to try to do is just quickly go through each category, what the examples are in each category, what the analysis of each category might be, or what we can draw from each category, and then maybe come up with one or two yesodos that maybe encapsulate the entire list. And I'm not doing this because I'm trying to be negative on the day before Rosh Hashanah, adrabah. I'm doing this because it's important to realize what the common themes are, because it could help frame our derech to tshuva. Meaning, if we know what you can't do tshuva for and why these averos are so bad that it makes it difficult or nearly impossible to do tshuva for, it may help us frame our own tshuva and realize what kinds of midos we need to be working on in order to be able to do a tshuva that's going to be effective, in order to have a proper etza of how to actually do a proper tshuva. So point number one is you have to look at the Rambam sort of tricks us a little bit. If you look at the Rambam, he starts Perek Dalid by saying Arba Vesrim Dvar Ma'akiv Nesachuva. This is in source number 6. There are 24 things that are Ma'akiv Tshuva, which Pashup Shat means you can't do Tshuva for. And he goes through all of Halacha Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Dalid, Hey, listing all of the things. And then finally in Halacha Vav he writes Kol Eilu Dvar Mechayotze Behem Afal Pisha Ma'akiv Nesachuva Ein moninosa. He says, before you say all the diukim, what the word ma'akiv means, I'll make a diukim Rambam, says the Rambam. When I said that these are things that are ma'akiv tshuva, I'm telling you they're ma'akiv, but they're not moneya tshuva. They don't prevent tshuva. They certainly make tshuva a much greater struggle, but they don't prevent tshuva. What does that mean? Elim asa adam tshuva mehen, hareze bal tshuva, v'yesh lo chelech li'olam haba. Now, every word in the Rambam Tshuva is golden, in the Rambam in general, but the Rambam has different words for Balei Tshuva, and for Tshuva, for the Tshuva process. Sometimes we'll use a term like Tshuva Gemura, complete Tshuva. Over here he says the guy is not a Bal Tshuva Gemura, but he is a Bal Tshuva. That on some level he has achieved Tshuva, and what level is that? He has a Chelek in Olam Haba, that he's not banished for all eternity. So the tshuva helps on some level. Now the implication of that Rambam is that all of these people are ein lahem chelek le'olam haba if they don't do tshuva. That if we do all these averos without the benefit of a tshuva, that it would be very, very problematic. So let's go through each list. Not going to read all of the Rambam inside, but at least the first line of each halacha. So first halacha, halacha aleph of Perek Dalid. Right after he says arba v'esrim dvar makvenes tshuva, says the Rambam, arba mehen avon gadol. The first category are things that sounds like the Rambam is saying are averos that are simply too awful to do tshuva for. The avera is just too big to do tshuva for. This is the list that you'd expect avodah zarah, gilui aryeh, and shfichas damim to be on. So what's actually on this list? So the Rambam says, machti asarabim. You cause a lot of other people to sin. Not always, the Tos Yantiv in Pirkei Avos points out, it's not always directly. Sometimes when we're machti asarabim, we do it in an indirect way. We make things okay to do. We make certain behaviors acceptable, and then other people follow those behaviors. So it's not always in the most direct way. It's not always viciously. Sometimes you think you're minding your own business, but you don't realize that other people can see you also. And if that guy could do it, then what's so bad if I do it? So machti asarabim. Second, mata chaveru midarach tova ledarach ra'ah. You lead someone on the wrong path. You know, you're the guy who gave all of his friends their first cigarette in, you know, wherever. You're the guy that just, people were teetering on the line and you just, you know, nudged them in the wrong direction a little bit. Roa b'no b'tarbus ra'a ve'ina memacha b'yado. Person sees his child going in the wrong path, and some people are very nervous that the children shouldn't hate them. They want their children to be their best friends. And they're very worried that the children shouldn't have any negative feelings toward them. So the way they try to satisfy their children is by never ever saying no. by whatever the kid wants is okay, because I love you so much, whatever, I'm going to spoil you, and that's going to be the greatest thing for you. Now, people, what they fail to realize, obviously, is that that's the greatest disservice one could do for a child. It's the greatest disservice one could do for oneself, because it may be the easy thing in the short term, but in the long term, obviously, it's going to blow up in a person's face. And it's a basic failure to recognize that children in general are like silly putty in our hands, that they can be molded and shaped, and they could be, and people just think, no, I heard someone, a parent once saying, the child doesn't, you know, eats like chocolate for dinner or something. Why does he refuses to eat other things? He's two. But he refuses. Do you really think a 2-year-old should be making decisions like that? You know, like he should be writing his own menu? He's two. A child is like putty. But some parents don't realize this, so they see the child go to Tarbes Ra'ah, Ein Memacha Biyado. He refuses to daven, so we're not going to tell him to daven. He refuses to say brachas, we're not going to tell him to say brachas. He refuses, so why should I make him do anything? And the fourth one in this category says, Ramam Ha'omer Echte Va'ashuv. Someone who says, I'll do an Aveira, but don't worry, I'll do tshuva. Now that one's the most logical one that you can't do tshuva for, because he's already made the tshuva part of his Aveira. Meaning he's already built the tshuva into the Aveira, so the tshuva can't be a tshuva if the tshuva is part of his Aveira. Or maybe this is what the Rambam is referring to at the very end. It's very challenging to do tshuva for, because how do we know what's sincere, what's not sincere? It's very hard to tell if the only reason he's comfortable doing this tshuva is because he, you know, this tshuva that he's doing right now is what enabled the Aveira in the first place. He would have had too guilty a conscience to do the Aveira had he not been planning on this tshuva. But what do these generally have in common? These Aveiros are too severe. What's the common link? So first of all, they obviously all affect other people, meaning at least the first three. Machti Sarab, Matach Ver Midarch Tovel Darch Ra'a, and Homer Echta Va'ash, Ro'a Bino Betabras Ro'a Ve'enam Macha Biyado. They all affect other people in a negative way, and they also all affect other people in a negative way on a spiritual level. Meaning one might have said, you know, it's really impossible to do tshuva for if you go around slashing tires in the neighborhood, because you affected so many people in a negative way, you cost so many people so much money. You go around smashing people's windows, so you cost so many people so much money. But this entire category is not about causing physical damage, property damage. The whole thing is about causing spiritual damage. That's when the chait is too big for a person to do tshuva for. The Gemara says in Maseches Makos and Daf Yud that when a Talmud goes to an Yer Miklat, a Rebbe has to go to the Yer Miklat with him. And what's the Svara? So the Gemara says, because the halacha is that he has to live in the Yer Miklat, and it's not a life if a person doesn't have his Rebbe. Now, it doesn't say his boss has to go to the Yer Miklat with him. It doesn't say anything else. It's just the Rebbe has to go to the Yer Miklat with him. Why? Because it could be the definition of life is the most luxurious spiritual life a person could possibly ever live. If a person is not going to set his goals high spiritually, he's not going to try for the most luxurious spiritual life, well, then it's not real life. I heard Ephraim Waxman make this ha'ara once, that's the definition of life. Physically, materially, you can live on many different levels. Spiritually, we have to aim for the highest level. A lot of times people have that backwards. I think, spiritually, I'm happy with where I am. You know, I learn a little bit, I'm basically from, I do the right things, I'm a kind person, I give X amount of tzedakah, and that's good enough, and, you know, I hit that level, and I'll stay that way for a while. I don't mind staying that way. But materially, there's always a drive to achieve more. You know, there's a vart I heard from Rabbi Isaac Bernstein once. The pasuk says, Lo sas l'cha pesel v'chal tumuna, asher b'shamayim mima'al v'asher ba'aretz mitachas. So he said a drush. He says, everyone always has role models in life. Everyone always wants to look up to somebody as a role model. Lo sas l'cha pesel v'chal tumuna. Don't make yourself someone who you have to be exactly like that person. That you're going to be a spitting image of that person. Because you have to realize that you're an individual and that everybody is a little bit different. So as much as you admire somebody, you're not supposed to be somebody else. You're not supposed to make yourself some sort of pesel v'chal tumuna, some sort of image that you have to fit into. Rather, the way you should look in terms of your guidance and in terms of your spiritual development is asher b'shamayim, and again, there's a drush, it's definitely not pshat, asher b'shamayim, when it comes to issues of shamayim, when it comes to heavenly matters, mima'al. Always look at people who have achieved more than you. Asher ba'aretz, and when it comes to material matters, the earthly matters, mitachas. Look below, look at people who have less than you. So often it's just the opposite. People are interested ba'aretz, they're always looking mimal, that what kind of vacation that person was able to go on, what kind of renovations that person was able to make on their house. And when it comes to b'shamayim, they're always looking at those who have less. Well, I'm better than that guy. At least I go to Minyan. That person doesn't even go to Minyan. At least I learn a little bit. That person doesn't do anything. It should be exactly the opposite. B'shamayim, we should always be looking at people who have achieved more. So that's the first category, seems to be a category of causing spiritual harm to other people. Second category, we'll try to speed up a little bit over here, the Rambam writes in Halacha Beis, Umehen chamisha dvarim, hanoalim darkei atshuva bifnei oseihen. Things that lock the ways of tshuva from those who would like to do, for those who do these averos. What does it mean, they lock the ways of tshuva? So it's almost impossible to understand that line without seeing the examples that the Rambam gives. The Rambam says, someone who's poresh min atzibur, person could do shomer mitzvah, Torah mitzvah 100%, but he's part of, everything's on his own. He learns on his own, he davens on his own, everything's on his own. He's his own person. Doesn't do anything together with the tzibur, separates himself from the tzibur. Cholek al divrei chachamim. Someone who, he's very learned. There are a lot of people like this. They're very, very learned. And they dedicate time to Torah. So every sentence they ever said to their rabbi started with all due respect, rabbi, and then it went from there. They're cholek al divrei chacham. Whatever the chacham say, they always have a teretz. They always have a, you know, I also took Hilchos Shabbos in seminary, I heard a couple of times. I learned in Yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael for 2 years. Yeah, but what have you done since then? Okay, but even if people used to bug me when I was people don't do this anymore. When I was in Yeshiva, I used to meet every once in a while someone who was in their 50s or whatever, and they would say, they'd say, "Who shir you?" And I said, "I'm in Rav Shechter shir, you know, Morenu Hagon Rav Shechter," and they would say, "Oh, Herschel, I remember him. Man, who are you? How did you talk that way? Like he's just somebody. He's not just somebody. He's been learning for the last 40 years. What have you been doing for the last 40 years? It could be that he was only this much greater than you when he was 17. But all right. So people are cholik al divrei chacham. Third person in this category is malig al mitzvos. People who mock the mitzvos. We're not being rodef after mitzvos enough. People who just don't respect the mitzvos. Probably included in this, people don't respect the divrei Torah enough. They don't respect the divrei Chazal enough. A lot of times, I remember when I was in 10th grade in Rabbi Yisrael Kamenetsky's shir in MTA, we used to say something like, "This Gemara makes no sense," or something like that. He would rip our heads off. He would scream, "You cockroach! You rodent! You nobody! You dirt under my toenail!" He would just scream like the lowest matter on earth is what we were compared to. How can you talk about Chazal in that way? That doesn't make it makes sense. You don't understand it because we don't have the brain to understand it yet without the proper work. And also in this category is Mevaza Rabosav, someone who is Mevaza his Rebbeim, and Sonias HaTochachos, someone who doesn't take Musar properly. A lot of times Tochacha comes in many different forms, and people just aren't, their antennas aren't up to receive the Tochacha. There's a famous story of Chatzka Levenstein was in a cab, and the cab driver was saying, "Oh, you're a rabbi?" The cab, clearly a Chiloni cab driver, and he says, "I got to tell you this unbelievable story that happened to my friend. My friend was in Tzava, and his life was in danger, and he tells some wild story, and he offered a tefillah, and he didn't believe in anything, but he offered a tefillah, and then right then something happened, and his life was saved, and it was a miracle. Now my friend is Dati." So what does Rav Chatzkel say? "Va'ata." "What about you?" And he says, "No, it happened to my friend." "It didn't happen to me, so there's a God for my friend." But, you know, what do you mean? If you hear such a thing, it should inspire us also. Meaning we have to be ready to hear the Tochacha when it's there. What are all of these about? So I think what all of these about are a person putting himself in a proper position to be able to do tshuva. When a person wants to do tshuva, he needs a tzibur to connect to. He needs chachamim to admire. He needs role models. He needs people who can lead him, who can guide him. And if a person has spent his entire life cutting himself off from all of those things, then when he's ready to do tshuva, he's not going to have the kalim with which to do the tshuva, because he's too independent. He doesn't have the chachamim that he reveres. It's a good relationship to have a certain reverence for people in your life, to have a reverence for your parents, to have a reverence for your rebbeim. It's a good kind of relationship. I remember one of my rebbeim saying once that he remembers meeting Rav Moshe Feinstein, and he said I felt like the tiniest thing in the world, but it was the most beautiful feeling. To feel that you're mamish in the presence of greatness, that's good. That's going to allow a person to be inspired once in a while. And 9/10 of the battle is the position we put ourselves in and the people we surround ourselves with. And that seems to be this category, that put ourselves in a position where the bechira to do good is going to be that much easier. Then the third category, the Rambam says, in Halacha Gimel over there, keep using the page, the Rambam writes, Umehem chamisha dvarim ha'osa osan I efshalo sheyashav b'tshuva gemura. Here he used that term, tshuva gemura. Lefi shem avono sheben adam l'chavero ve'eno yodea chavero shechatalo kedei sheyachzer lo o yishal nimenu limchalo. A person wronged a lot of other people, so many that he can't find them all. He doesn't know who. He doesn't know who to ask mechila from. I just got a shaila this week. Someone came over to me and said that when a guy who's a Baal Tshuva in the colloquial sense, hopefully we're all Baal Tshuva, but someone who was when he was in college, was not observant of Torah mitzvahs, and he said that there was a group of Orthodox girls that lived in the apartment above him in the university that he was in, and he said he and his roommates, for his sport, used to make their lives miserable. He didn't explain to me what that meant, but he said that they would make their lives absolutely miserable. And now this guy's a rabbi. He has a beard, and he's a new neighbor moved on his block, and she looks so familiar. The wife looks so familiar, and it hits him that maybe this is one of the women. And he thought, what an opportunity! HaKadosh Baruch Hu is putting right in my lap over here. I never thought, I didn't even know who these people are. How am I going to find them to ever ask mechila? But his shaila was, do I have to actually ask mechila? He said, for two reasons. He said, first of all, I'm afraid that the only other foreign people on the block, there's no way if she knows that I'm the same guy that she'll ever let her kids play with my kids. I'm like, what did you do? But whatever he did, there's no way she's ever going to let her kids play with my kids. And the other thing he said is, he knows that part of the tshuva process is charata, but it was so much fun. So like he doesn't really have that charata. Okay, so that's a different shiur for a different time. But this third category is a very critical category. People who do things mekalel asarabim. What does it mean mekalel asarabim? You take a large group of Klal Yisrael and you say, those people, they're so whatever, you know, fill in the blank, nasty, disrespectful, whatever not nice thing you want to say, not punctual, I don't know, whatever not nice thing you want to say about an entire group. Now you're going to find every single one? You can find everyone that fits into that group, and you're going to be able to ask mechila, mekalel asarabim, cholek imaganef, someone who supports immoral behavior. Someone, when they say, well, if you pay with cash, and he says, oh, great, okay, you pay with cash, and then you don't have to pay the taxes. So it's their job to pay the taxes, not my job to pay it, but you're supporting immoral behavior. Someone who's motzi aveda ve'eno machriz aleha. Finds an aveda and he doesn't announce about the aveda. He doesn't try to help out. So he doesn't even know whose aveda it is to ask mechila for. Ha'ochel shodanim v'yisomim v'almanos. A person who takes unfair advantage of aniyim. There are people that make their living by taking unfair advantage of aniyim. You ever notice in the poorest neighborhoods they have these places, these storefronts, checks cashed. Right? In advance. You could get yourself. What's that doing? That's taking people who never don't have 2 cents to put together, and you're taking their money, and you take a percent. It's the poor getting poorer. You're making sure that the poor get poorer. That's the way it works in a lot of the neighborhoods. So someone who makes his business by taking care of, by taking advantage, rather, of aniyim, yisomim, almanos, or makabel shochadatos din, someone who does an injustice in his judgment. So again, all of these things are things you just can't track the bad that you've done. Now, the silver lining of all of these five items listed in this category is that midat tov is merubah midas pranas. A lot of times you can't track the good that you've done. A lot of times a person will do something, just do a nice gesture, and they don't realize the implications. They don't realize who it's affecting, and it could be affecting lots and lots of people that he doesn't even know that he never even met. And midat tov is merubah. It just the idea of this category is that a person has to realize that what we do matters. What we do affects a lot of people. Bein l'tov, bein l'ra, and therefore we need to be very careful with our actions. Then the fourth category, the Rambam writes, Umehen chamisha dvarim. This is the most interesting category. Ha'osa osan ein cheskaso lashuv mehen. It's not that you can't do tshuva. It's not even that the tshuva is in some way going to be incomplete. You can do tshuva, it will be a fine tshuva, it will be a wonderful tshuva. Ein cheskaso lashuv mehen. Probably you're not going to do tshuva. What does he mean by that? You're probably not going to do tshuva. He says, because these are averos that people don't really feel badly about. It's the kind of averos that people don't really view as averos. For example, mistakel ba'arayos. Someone who gazes at arayos, who looks at arayos. He's not doing arayos. Yeah, I'm just looking, so can't hurt. One of my friends told me when he was in high school, his father, who's a very prominent rav, came over to him when he started talking to girls in high school. So his father came over to him and said, you have to remember, girls are like a museum. You can look, but you cannot touch. And also, you cannot look. So that was his education. So, mistakel ba'arayos. The person is so easy to say, it's a victimless crime. I'm not doing anything. The person obviously doesn't mind being looked at because of the way they're dressing or whatever, the provocative. And it's a victimless crime. I'm not hurting anybody. I'm not doing anything. But it's an avera that a person won't feel badly about, and therefore it's going to be impossible for him to do tshuva. Or ochel misuda sheinu maspekas lebaleha. You eat. You're invited to someone's house. So I'm invited to their house. They're giving me food. That means that they're offering me all this food. But I see that there's not enough food for them, and I just fill up my plate. I'm yeshiva. I remember this happened when I was in yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael. I was invited to a cousin that I didn't really know so well. Apparently they were very poor. I didn't know that, but they invited me to their house. They bought meat and they served it at the Shabbos table. I brought a friend with me because they told me I should bring a friend. And we saw meat, and we immediately, I took half the plate, he took half the serving plate, and then we heard the little kid say, we have basar? Why do we have basar? What happened? Is it Pesach? Like, what's going on? And I was like, and the woman was like, no, we have chashuva orchim. That's why we have basar. And then I assumed, in a Jewish home, when I took half the serving plate, my friend took the other half, that the serving plate then goes back into the kitchen and then comes back out full, because that's what happens, right? It goes back in and comes back out full. But it didn't. And we had... That's ochel misuda sheinu maspekas. But I was invited, so why should I feel badly about it? I was invited, so I should be fine. Mishtamish ba'avot hashalani, miskabid b'klon chavero. Someone else is down, and a person feels a sense of self-righteous indignation. Sometimes, usually when people do this, it's under a veil of sympathy. Ah, Nebuch, he has no social graces. What are you really saying? Look how cool I am. That guy's a nerd. But what I want to say? Nebuch, he has no social graces. Nebuch, I feel bad for him. If you'd feel bad for him, you wouldn't say how you feel bad for him. You'd actually be nice to him instead of talking about him and how badly you feel for him. But a person doesn't feel like that's an avera. And a lot of times, charata is one of the more challenging parts of tshuva, for a person to actually feel bad. You see this all the time. I speak to a lot of people who I knew them when they were in high school, and they were doing all sorts of things that are not appropriate, that were not proper. And then they go and they become very, very frum wherever, in Eretz Yisrael, in yeshiva, whatever, wherever they become very frum. Or they just settle down later in life, and you think, okay, they're Bali Tshuva. But then you hear how they talk and how they reminisce about the good old days. And they're talking longingly and nostalgically about the good old days. About doing averos. About, the time we went to that trefer restaurant and we did this to that person. And that's not Tshuva. Tshuva means that a person has to feel a sense of charata. Now, the good news is that partial tshuva counts. It's not like dalet minim, where if you take three out of the four, you don't have any mitzvah. You do a kabbalah ala asid, that's good. That's a step. That's an important step. But you need to do all parts of tshuva. Charata is one of the more challenging parts. And these are averos that a person, the Rambam's analysis, will take too lightly. And then he has his fifth category. His fifth category, he says, are chamisha dvarim ha'osa osam yimashech achareim tamid v'kashim heim lefrosh mehen, meaning addictive behavior, things that you develop a habit and it becomes impossible to leave that habit. Habits, neurologically speaking, form in our brains and stay there forever. The only way to kill a habit is by developing another habit that's stronger than it, by using those same triggers that trigger the old habit to then get us to do something else. So whatever trigger used to get a person, let's say, to smoke a cigarette, is now going to get him to chew a piece of gum or to do something else, to tap his fingers, to do something. There's got to be some other habit that forms that beats the old habit. But habits are there, the Rambam understood, they're there forever. They stay in our brains. Our brains are rewired forever because of habits that we form. What are the habits? So you'd expect him to talk about all sorts of bad habits. What he really describes are bad midos. Rechilos, Lashon Hara, Bal Chema, Bal Machshavara, Mischaber L'Rasha. So we have this big forest of things, and we only have like 3 minutes left. The big forest of things that we can't do tshuva for, that it's so hard to do tshuva for. What's the yisod of it all? So I thought that maybe we can suggest that there are two yisodos that run through all of these items, all 24 items on the list. First is, notice that none of them are ben adam l'makom, pretty much. They're all ben adam l'atzmo, ben adam l'chavera. And I say ben adam l'atzmo, a lot of them are not ben adam. Bal chema is not ben adam l'chavera. Bal chema means you go into a room all by yourself and you start smashing things that belong to you because you're angry. That's a bal chema, even though it's not affecting anyone else. Because that's ben adam l'atzmo. It just shows a lack of refinement, a lack of basic character. So a critical part of a successful tshuva, apparently, has to be to have a certain sense of self-respect, a certain sense of self-esteem. And that's really Rosh Hashanah. What we do is we're mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu for 2 days straight, because when you're mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're saying, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is my melech, then I must be pretty important. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wouldn't be a melech wouldn't care so much about a nation of nobodies. So I must be pretty important. I'm not even focused on Averos. I'm not talking about a single Avera for 2 days. We don't even eat nuts because it's the same gematria as Avera, kind of, as Chet. Kind of. It's not really, but it's close. We stay so far away from Averos. But we're just working on this idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is our Melech, and that should build in us a certain sense of self-esteem, a certain sense of an understanding of who we are. The second yesod, I think, that emerges from all of these is that we are judged as part of a tzibur. All of these sins involve becoming an ish yachid rather than contributing to a community, rather than becoming part of a tzibur. We have the first category, which negatively impacted other people, which separates you from a certain... The second category certainly was all about being porish min tzibur, separating oneself from a group. Cholik al dibei chachamim, porish min tzibur, mevazer rabosav, separating oneself from a group. Third category is not only that you can't track who you've hurt and therefore you can't get mechila, it's that your behavior is so destructive you don't even know what kind of mess you left behind you. Because when a person's doing things, he's only thinking about himself, he's not thinking about anyone else around him. And therefore it's like the old lady that's driving and doesn't get into an accident, but everyone behind her is like crashing into each other trying to avoid her. And that's the way a person's a wreck as he's driving, because he's just focused on himself and not worried about everyone else. And the fourth category are all examples that we'll take lightly because we're insensitive to the plight of other people. Mishtamish bavoto shalani, ochel misud shein maspekas lebala, that we're just not paying attention to other people or their dignity. Mistakel barayos. And the fifth category are all examples of addictive behavior, are midos that either separate you from people, like lashon hara, rechilos, schema, or connect you to the wrong people, mischaber l'rasha. So I think the theme that runs throughout all of them is that if a person wants to be able to do a proper tshuva, he needs to connect to Klal Yisrael. And Rav Soloveitchik spoke about this a lot, about how any individual does not have any guarantees from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we will be here next year or tomorrow or in 5 minutes from now. But Klal Yisrael has a guarantee that Klal Yisrael is always going to survive. And therefore, the more we contribute to Klal Yisrael, the more we're contributing to something that's nitzchi, the more we're contributing to something that's going to be lasting, and that's actually going to be impactful. So if a person wants to be able to carve a path through which he can do tshuva, he needs to connect to Klal Yisrael. It needs to be about the Jewish people. It needs to be about, when we say that we're kivnei maron, we're like a sheep in a flock, it means, how are we as one of the sheep in a flock? How do we handle being one of the many sheep in a flock? What does it mean about the other sheep? And what are our attitudes toward the other sheep in the flock? And it seems that if we can have those midos, self-esteem, ben adam la'atzmo, and that idea that we are part of something so much bigger than ourselves, we can avoid all of the 24 things that are ma'akev tshuva. And we could do a tshuva shlema together with Klal Yisrael, because that, we have a guarantee, is going to be listened to, a haftacha from the Navi, that Mashiach is going to come, and it's only going to come with tshuva, so that's a guarantee that Klal Yisrael's tshuva is one day going to be accepted. I wish everyone a chesiva v'chesima tov.